You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes indeed, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:07 p.m. on March the 15th. Hey, listen, we're going to go to the phones right now and bring in a friend of mine, Colonel Jim Hawkins, a long career in the military, active with the Alabama National Guard. He also, for many years, ran what became known as DOMS, Domestic Operations. Was the specialty. Basically, if there was an emergency operations center, if there was a crisis, whether it be something that was man-made, act of God, whatever the case may be, the National Guard had a role in that very often, and Jim Hawkins was at the center of it. And I don't know of anybody who has more experience in helping to leverage the ability to create interagency coordinations in the midst of turmoil than my buddy Jim Hawkins. And he wound up being the guy who was called upon after retirement to come back to the state and provide that same level of expertise, although I'm not sure that it was received as well. So without further ado, let me bring on my brother Jim Hawkins. Jim, how you doing today, man?
I'm well, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. And I would be remiss if I didn't start off by saying thank you for your many years of service. Well done.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction, and thank you for your many years of service, both in uniform and as a esteemed member of our state Senate.
Well, I don't know about esteemed, but I was there, but thank you. But hey, listen, man, so you recently published a four-part sort of an after-action review or paper on the fact that you were brought down there to help establish and oversee the unified command of the interagency response from the state of Alabama, the whole of government response to COVID, which I'll be honest with you, I read it very judicious in the manner in which you wrote it, very professional, but I can read between the lines, and what I saw was there was not a lot of good interagency coordination, and y'all were basically trying to pull different cats in and make them work together. Talk about it for a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, I, like you said, I had retired and had gone to work for a Homeland Security and Defense contractor called Dynamis, and I was working for them in Huntsville. And one of the owners of our company, a guy named John Braun, you know, was very concerned about the growing pandemic, even in the early days, back in February and March of 2020. And he called me one day and said, hey, if we're willing to do it pro bono and the governor's office is interested, would you be willing to go back to Montgomery and assist with the response? And of course, they said yes, and the governor's office said yes, and they asked me to go basically be a consultant at the Department of Public Health, who, interestingly, I didn't know this at the time. I know it now, obviously. They don't work for the governor.
They
work
for
the medical
board.
And so I was advising them. And within a few days, the State Emergency Management Agency and public health formed a unified command, which is an incident command structure under the NIMS system, where agencies with overlapping authorities or jurisdictions basically share command. They cooperate. And so a unified command was formed at the end of March. And basically you had a committee in charge of the event. And it just wasn't going the way the executive office wanted it to go. They were having difficulty getting information, things like that. In fairness, they were asking, you know, difficult questions of a staff that wasn't used to working together. And the governor asked me if I would take on the role of interagency coordinator and synchronize the activities of all of the agencies that were involved. So essentially, while still a unified command, it now had an incident commander, more or less, which is the role I took on. And one of the challenges that we had was nobody had really worked with public health much before. You know, just a small branch of it, their basically their emergency management section. So there weren't a lot of well-established relationships. And so we sort of had to build those as we went. So to answer your question, one of the challenges was getting those agencies to cooperate because they weren't used to working together.
So I remember when I was in Baghdad watching a guy who at the time was a major, and he had a staff full of colonels that were all supposed to be an interagency, like a jock, basically. They were a joint operations center, and his call sign was Cat Herder 6. And I suspect that could have been your call sign in this situation is being Cat Herder 6. Was that about accurate?
Yeah, you could say that. So the command occupied the building where public health was located. So we were, you know, on someone else's, you know, turf. EMA sent a large contingent of folks down there to work. And I realized pretty quickly as we began to look at these complex problems we were dealing with that neither agency had an adequate number of planners. So I encouraged them to request National Guard support. And so the National Guard came over with a significant number of medical planners to help us plan things like how much PPE we needed to buy. And forestry, actually, one of the bright spots in the pre-event relationships was a terrific relationship between forestry and Alabama EMA. And the deputy EMA director, Jonathan Gaddy, coordinated with forestry. And forestry actually came over and manned one of the sections in the command as well, the planning section ICS planning, not future ops planning per se. So you ended up with four agencies, public health, EMA, forestry, and the National Guard, all working together inside that command. And what we found is where we had pre-existing relationships, for example, you know, forestry and EMA, that went rather smoothly. You know, when we had interaction with the parts of public health that had worked with EMA before, like their emergency management section, you know, that went smoothly. But we had a huge number of people that had never worked together. And all of these agencies had pandemic plans. But one of the challenges that we faced is there was a real, I called it, you know, an over novelty overload is what I called it in the article. We had a novel virus, and so people tended to discount their previous plans and start from scratch. And we were in this command structure, this unified command that the state had never tried before. So there wasn't really a standard operating procedure to go by. So it was kind of like building a plan in the air. And because the novelty of the virus, one of the temptations for a lot of people was to just get caught up in, hey, this is new. It's been 100 years since this has happened. We better reinvent the wheel, which, of course, was exactly the wrong thing to do because it was just a crisis. It was a disaster like any other disaster. It was just a very slow-moving disaster. And, you know, in a case like that, you stick to your core competencies. You know, what do you know how to do well? Do those things. You know, you only invent something new if you need it and you don't have it. So that was some of the challenges we had kind of getting things going.
Well, Jim, let me ask you, in about the 3 minutes or so we have left, the takeaways, the things you hope become a lessons learned, and you kind of touched on it right then by saying that, you know, there was sort of a tendency to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. If God forbid, 10 years from now, we have another, you know, viral outbreak and they have to do a public health crisis, we don't want to see them reinvent the wheel. Now, I mean, there'll be different softwares at the time. There'll be different communication systems at the time. There might even be other medical relief available at the time. But you're right, the core competencies wouldn't change. So what in about 2 minutes or so, if you could, tell me, are the lessons being put down in such a way that the next generation can grab them off the shelf, dust them off, and use them? Or are they going to be lost in the ether because we have cats that went different directions after the unified command broke up?
Well, I think the latter is probably what's happening. You know, I served after that experience. I spent 7 months on the Pandemic Response Preparedness Commission that the state legislature held. And the articles that I published were based on the written input I provided that group. And I made three recommendations. You know, number one, we've got to improve our interagency relationships. And you do that by doing planning and training and exercises together. So
The
state's got an emergency operations plan. You know, everybody needs to get together at those agencies. They need to go over that plan together. They need to develop their pandemic response plans based on this experience together, where they understand each other's core competencies and who brings what to the response. And then they need to do exercises. They need an exercise program against that plan, because exercising together strengthens relationships and validate your plans. And, you know, one of the sayings in our world is don't exchange business cards with the smoking crater. And there was a lot of that going on. So they should develop a joint planning and exercise plan program where they build those relationships. Next, we've got to establish a single system to maintain situational awareness and a common operating picture. All of those agencies had their own systems and they didn't talk to each other. And so maintaining situational awareness at the senior leader level was difficult because everybody tracked their own stuff. So the state needs to purchase some system that they can manage events on across departments, including updating the system they use to get information from the hospitals. And then lastly, you've got to capture those lessons learned and do formal improvement planning. I lobbied the state multiple times, you know, hire some outside agency, pick a state agency, but get somebody that didn't do the response to write a statewide after action report to capture the things that worked, to capture the things that we need to improve on, and help us develop an improvement plan as a state. And each of those agencies did their own after action report, as far as I've been told, but there's not a statewide that captures all of those lessons. And unfortunately, the Pandemic Response Preparedness Commission, you know, largely focused on legislative changes that they thought would help. But it doesn't really capture all the lessons learned from that event. So that's one of the reasons I published that article too, because those four articles, it talks about, here's what we learned, here's what we struggled with, here's what we did that worked, here's how we get better going forward. And, the odds of having another pandemic are frankly high. And, the odds of any kind of complex disaster, like a Cat 5 hurricane strike, you know, on Mobile Bay up the 65 corridor, similar lessons learned are going to apply. So we've got to be better prepared.
Well, Jim, I could just sit back and let you talk this way for an hour, because I think that there's probably a great deal of institutional knowledge wrapped up in your head right now that I'm hoping that people are reading your report. Here's what I'm going to do, though, and we're out of time for right now, but I'm taking your reports and I'm hanging them out there on my Right Side website, and I'm going to be starting directing traffic towards those, because we've got to grab these lessons learned. Colonel Jim Hawkins, brother, thank you for all you do for our state, have done for our state, and still doing for our state. And God bless you, my friend. I hope to see you soon.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It's great to be here. And I do want to say a lot of those cats were fantastic people that worked hard, but we can do better.
All right. Good enough. Appreciate it. All right, folks.
Thanks.
That was my friend, Colonel Jim Hawkins, Unified Command, with regards to COVID. And did we learn anything? I hope so. I sure hope so. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of this when we get back. You hang on.